All right. Okay, well, if you would please be seated, and if my dear wife and children would please stand up.
There you go.
And that's my lovely wife, Carletta, and right next to her, our daughter, Abigail, and James. Abigail's eight, she's almost eight, she'll be eight tomorrow, and James is 13. And I'll and my wife will be certain ages soon. Okay, all right. All right, and so I just want to thank you, Pastor, for having us.
Amen.
We really do appreciate it. And it's been a blessing to be talking to you. And I guess I preach now, don't I, huh?
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right. Okay, I told you a man need a card. So, okay, you're going to stay there, right? Okay. All right. So God has been very good to us, and we just thank the Lord for what he has done, and looking forward to sharing some more about our the ministry. I feel kind of like Abraham. Now, Abraham was called of God to go out and to go into a land. He didn't know where. We know where. but exactly where, we haven't gotten that down yet. And exactly how God is leading step by step. But one thing we do know for sure is going to get done. The same way that it was, I mean, we're going to Ethiopia, the same here, step by step, and it gets done. And so we are excited about what God is going to do. And the Lord laid in my heart a message from out of 1 Peter chapter 5. And if you would turn there, a lot of times I have my whole book up here because sometimes I get up here and I say, well, let's just throw this message out for right now and let's preach this one because the Holy Spirit says, I've been trying to tell you about this all along. You haven't been listening. Now I see what you got here. And so, but right now we have a message out of 1 Peter 5. And what we're going to do is we'll stand, if you may. I don't know what the custom is, but I like to stand if you're able to, for the reading of the scripture. And we'll start from verse 1 out of 1 Peter 5, and then we have a word of prayer. It says here in 1 Peter 5, in verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthened, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, As I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand, the church that is at Babylon, elect together with you, salute you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we're going to concentrate on two verses here, verse 6 and verse 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. And let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the power that we have by the Holy Spirit. We are not alone, though we may be alone. We're not cast down, though we may be cast down, Father, but we are upholding and strengthened by God's word, by your word, by your spirit. And Father, we pray that this little time that we have would be a blessing, Father, to all that hear. And Father, may I myself even, Father, be blessed by your words this evening. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much for standing. And those of you who could stand. Now, First Peter and Second Peter, the epistles of Peter are written to a church that is in grave persecution. Often quite severe. And it's during this time that Peter writes this church and is encouraging this church, which is in persecution, which has all kinds of distractions, which has all kinds of cares. He's telling this church to be holy, do right, submit to your elders, submit to one another. Walk in charity. He's telling this church, in the midst of all this, what we would call crisis today, he's saying to this church, even though all this is happening, God expects you to walk according to righteousness, charity, love, walk in Jesus Christ. Amen. We see often statements to be holy, holiness. We look at chapter 1 and verse 17. It says here, and if ye call on the Father without respect of persons, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. See, what a admonition. And then in 18, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Oh boy, I tell you, I know when things get rough and when things get tough, we tend to concentrate on our wounds and on the affliction, and this epistle touches on those things: the suffering, the persecution, the tears, the fiery trials. But in the midst of all that, we have a fine jewel being shaped, and it's the Word of God that ensures that, that nurtures that. We look at chapter 2, and in chapter 2, verse 2 says here, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby. Why? These are elementary teachings. This is new convert teaching. This is, you get saved, you get excited, you get on fire, you're going for the Lord. I was saved during a time where things were good. I mean, I was kind of mixed up. I think I still am, but I was kind of mixed up. I was 18 years old, and when I got saved, it was springtime every day. I didn't have to run for my life. I got baptized without worrying about having my head chopped off or being excommunicated from my family. I mean, it was nice. But these same admonitions about reading the Bible, like I read my Bible, I read John, I read Romans over and over again. I witnessed, I did all these things, excited for the Lord, and many others just like me and like you as well. During a time where it was relatively easy to say that I'm a Christian, I belong to Jesus. For these Christians, it was not very easy to say that. And they saw grave persecution, and some were killed. Many lost their business. Many were being persecuted in ways that's not even recorded in scripture or history. We know of the great persecutions about 200 years later, but before the great persecutions, there were pockets of severe persecutions here in the scripture. We look at chapter 3, and in chapter 3, verse 13, it says, who is he? Okay, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Talking about suffering for Jesus Christ. And no one can harm you, but if you suffer. Verse 14, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Wow. Amen. Nothing can happen to us. We are preserved. If this life was to end, if our body was to burn, it is not the end.
Amen.
For our life, our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
They may kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul.
Amen.
And they may kill this body, but they will not kill James Downs. For I live forever. Amen. With Jesus Christ. And so do you if you live in Jesus Christ. This is what this book is talking about. This is what this epistle is talking about. In the midst of all your cares, we are still to bear fruit upward, though all of hell seem to come down upon us. And in the midst of all this, we bear fruit. Walk in love. Chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand, and so isn't it at hand? We see what's going on in our own country, things that has been going on in many countries, but we believe that the United States is a chosen country for a chosen time. I believe that this has been in many ways the greatest nation in history for the disbursement of the gospel.
Amen.
Aside from Israel, America was used by God. The King James Bible, which was used here in America, has been used to evangelize the whole world.
Right.
The greatest revivals of our time here in America.
Amen.
It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The word sober is used a number of times. Be sober. That is, think about what you're going to say, what you're going to do. Relax. Don't overreact. That's one aspect of the meaning of sober, other than not being drunk, but yet being having your senses about you. Walking circumspectfully, watching your step. Always being aware of the enemy that's around us, the devil and all the powers of Satan that works against the Christians. Be sober. And in verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins, and so forth. And it goes and over again to walk right, to be right, to be strong in the midst of persecution. And then we come to We must not be remiss if I did not talk about verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If the New Testament is preached in its entirety, from the pulpits of America, we would have preaching on suffering more than anything else, it seemed like. Enduring suffering, being loving and tender and sweet and kind through suffering. And then we come to verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. We are thinking about the creation of God, how mighty and big. I mean, there are suns, stars that are as big as, as if you can imagine a big old globe this big, and then a speck this small, this would be our solar system. And this would be, I guess you can call it blue giant. God is an awesome and amazing, fearful, and we tremble in his presence. He made all those things, and he takes care of us. Yes, he made all these things for us. And we put our souls in his hand as a faithful creator. We see all the, we don't have to look out into the vast awesome large space to see how great God is. We can look at the smallest things that on the earth that we can understand and comprehend with our mind. One cell has as much knowledge and technology and information, that is, as the most complex space shuttle. Right. You tell me that came by accident and haphazardness and chance and mutation. No way! God is in control! And he'll take care of you. And so we come to chapter 5. It's a summary of this part of this epistle. He says for everyone to submit to one another. I mean, already you have, he talked about submitting, the wife submitting to the husband and the husband loving the wife. And listen, when things get rough, when things get bad, you're still a family.
Man.
It's not time to clam up. It's not time to build a wall. It's time to put on Jesus like never before. To come together and to come together even closer and ride out the waves together. But yet in times of troubles and trials and persecution, which we have minimum in comparison to what the early Christians go through. We have minimum in comparison to what many Christians in the world today go through.
That's right.
When things get rough, we put up a wall. And we go up to our high tower. Stand alone. And we shut off God. And we think about our cares. And it says here, keep the fiber of the church strong. Submit yourselves to your elders and submit yourselves one to another. And then it gives instructions to the elders and to those and to the younger ones. And then we come to verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself, therefore. Therefore, all that we have just talked about, long introduction. I try to be quicker. But humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Why did God make me this? Why did God do this? Why? Don't worry about it. God has a purpose.
Amen.
Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. These two verses seem as though that humbling yourself has everything to do with being able to cast your cares or your care upon him. Being able to take your care and put it upon God is indicative of a person who is able to humble themselves.
Right.
The two don't, if you find yourself worrying, these two don't separate. These go hand in hand. They're like one leg and the other leg on a person as they walk. You cannot go forward unless you cast your care upon the Lord and you also humble yourself. These two walk and go together. They, and if you don't have one, you don't have the other. If one is a problem, then you can probably guess that the other one is a problem as well. And so here, humble yourselves. Often we build our armed fortress when our cares come. And we sit on our high mountains of pride and of arrogance, ready to take on our problems, ready to take on the persecution, ready to, and listen, the Bible does say, be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. But in all this, we are always trusting God. It's not my wisdom, but the wisdom that God gives me. It is not what I can see and understand alone, but it's what God sees and understands. It's those things that I cannot see, that he sees, that he directs me in that. And so therefore, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Yeah. You may be shamed and humiliated in this life. You may be spat upon, made fun of. Don't worry about it. Who says that we have to be exalted now? We are nothing. Had it not been for the blood of Jesus Christ, we all be destined to hell forever.
Right.
Yeah. We are nothing. If we see ourselves as we really are, there'd be no problem to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then he says, cast in all your care, not some, not the ones that you want to take care of yourself. All your cares, big cares, small cares, all of them upon God. Cast it, put it in his hand. Salvation. We, if we are truly saved, we have done that at our salvation. I was put my trust in my baptism before I was saved. I put my trust in my works before I was saved. And a young man named Eddie Bell, while I was walking home from high school there in Philadelphia, he came and he told me how that my baptism couldn't save me. My righteousness could not save me. The Bible says all of our righteousness are as filthy rags in God's eyesight. And that, and right there, outside my high school, Eddie Bell led me to the Lord, and I got saved outside my high school, and I began to grow. I began to let go of things. I began to let go of my aspirations. I stopped going to my art club. I stopped going to volunteering at the Benjamin Franklin Science Institute. I stopped going to my club so that school clubs so that I could go out soul winning and be in church Wednesday night. And they thought it strange that I was not, my friends thought I was strange that I was not doing the same things that I used to do.
Yeah.
They thought I was really strange. I was walking down the street, and one of them said, hey, that's James. And the other one said, he's not coming with us. I was going to church. I had cast my care upon Jesus Christ for my salvation. And if you have been saved, you have done the same thing.
Right.
And then the Lord has been very good to me to give me a wonderful wife. That outside my salvation, my wife is the greatest thing that has happened to me.
Amen.
I look at Adam. Adam, I mean, listen, I used to fret and worry about getting a wife. Oh, I took some of that care upon myself, but I made it a point to put that care upon God. I didn't change churches to find a wife. I didn't change ministries to find a wife.
Amen.
I didn't do anything to find a wife, but to pray and do what God told me to do. Adam was to be given a wife. And God took Adam and put him in sleep. He slept, and God performed surgery on Adam and took out a rib. And out of that rib, he formed his wife, Eve, who Adam named later on, and gave brought him to Adam. I know there's a lot of single people getting themselves in trouble because they're trying to find their own wife.
Right.
But Adam was put to sleep, and God did the preparation and operation and everything that he needed to do for Adam to get that wife. He did it in his sleep. Cast all your care upon him. He gave you that wife. Anyone looking for? Okay, never mind. God is good. And God, listen, I was praying. I got down on my knees one December, and I said, Lord God, would you give me a prospect of a wife before the years? I was 40 years old. I never prayed that way before. I was at a member's house for Christmas, and the son-in-law of the member came to me. His wife came to me and said, you know, I know of a young lady at our college that you might want to meet. I didn't say anything, but I was thinking, I was hoping that she could read mine that said, show me a picture. And she had a picture. And I saw that picture, and I thought, wow, that's the most beautiful smile I've ever seen. It was worth waiting for. God was preparing her. God was preparing me. God was preparing, I was asleep, but God was performing that surgery while I was asleep. I believe in dating, but not the way the world dates.
Yes.
Oh, that's a possibility. I date that. It's a possibility. I date that. It's a possibility. I date that. No. A lady came, a girl came to our church, a black girl, and someone said, hey, Brother Down, so go ahead and ask her. I don't even know she is faithful in church. She came on one time. She may not even be Baptist. What are you talking about? Oh, what a mess. We have cast your care upon the Lord, and he will take care of it.
Right.
I look at those of us who are burdened down with cares are like these two little boys who had tied a string to this bird's little feet. And that bird would fly off, and then it'll jerk, and it'll come down. And it'll fly off, jerk, and it'll come down. That's what our cares do to us. We fly off, and we jerk, and our cares bring us down. Oh, I'm going for the Lord, and we jerk, and the cares bring us down. We get tossed to and fro. When I was a little boy, we weren't very good little kids. And we had kittens. And they didn't survive longer under us. Only a few got to survive. Because we just, you know, I was 8, you know, and my brothers were, you know, 7. And I remember one time on the porch, we had a little white kitten. And we would toss the kitten to each other on our porch view, and then the kitten would go, you know, and my brother would catch it, and whoa, and then, yeah, and then the kitten, and that's what our cares are doing to us. They're just throwing us back and forth, and we, just put your cares on God. Place your cares in the hand of Jesus, and he will take care of all those cares. He will take care of all those cares. I remember Claire was telling me about the time that she was led by the Lord to go to college, Bible college. And she didn't know how to get there. She was praying. She didn't know what to do. And I probably get the story mixed up and everything, but she was at the altar and she said, "Lord, if you want me to go, provide a way." And another lady came by, knelt by her, and said, "Coletta, if the Lord wants you to go to college, I'll drive you there." Yeah, just putting your care upon the Lord. Putting your care upon the Lord. Why? Because He cares for you.
Amen.
He cares. He cares. He cares for the sparrow. He feeds even the bugs that crawl upon the earth, creeping around. He cares for them. How much more? You and I, who will be exalted in due time. Often, we get the question, "Oh, serving God. Is what's more important, serving God, serve my family, or doing this or do that?" And we are burdened down with cares. I think about the widow woman. And Elijah tells the widow woman, "I want you, if you please, give me some water." And then he says, "Ask her, would you please make me a cake?" You know the response. I don't have a cake. All I have is a meal and oil enough to feed myself and my son, and then we're going to eat it and die. And I can imagine. widow woman, didn't even have a name. What's more important to you, your son or Elijah? What's more important to you? That's a tough question. And I can imagine that there was a brief warfare going on inside of her. The Bible says that she was commanded of the Lord to give to Elijah. You would never think that by what happened. But she was commanded of the Lord to give to Elijah. You would never think that. There was a struggle. What's more important? Your son? Or this man, this stranger here? The prophet. The prophet of God said to give. And God said, if you give, you and your son will eat. She believed God. Amen. And she gave her sons and her food to Elijah. And they ate all the way through the famine.
Right.
Casting all your cares upon the Lord. And in due time, you shall be exalted. Oh, it came a time where that widow woman's son died. And when she ran to the man of God, and the man of God fell upon the child, prayed, and delivered that child alive to the widow woman. And the widow woman said, "Now I know that the Lord God is Lord."
Amen.
You would figure that she knew when she was being fed, but God knows what we need. In due time, he shall be exalted. She lost her house one day, but God gave that house back to her. In due time, God shall exalt you. And I look at Ruth. Everything ruined. Her husband died. She had nothing left over. She decided that she was going to follow her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to Jerusalem. That her God would be her God. And that that she would give up her rights and her opportunity to find a husband in her own home to follow God. She humbled herself. If she remained destitute, she was going to follow God. And she put all her care in God's hand. And now she's in the lineage of Christ. The mother of Obed. Obed. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Obed. Obed. Now she's in the lineage because she put her trust in God. Look at Jesus, who walked this earth, who was taken and spat upon and abused. He had no place to lay his head. He only did good to those that needed healing, and those that were sick, and those that were bruised, and those that were in captivity, and those that needed the gospel. He preached truth. He was taken, and he was crucified. He was whipped and beaten, and they put him on a cross. And on the cross, he said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He had a care. And often our cares say, "Why? Why, God, hast thou forsaken me?" But he put all his care in God. "Into thy hand I commit my soul."
Yes.
"I commit my spirit." Amen. "Commit everything. Into thy hand I commit everything." And in due time, after day one, after day two, after day three,
Amen.
He rose from the dead, and he lives forever.
Amen.
As our salvation, and as our supreme example of Christians who are willing to give and to sacrifice themselves for Jesus Christ, so that others may come to the saving knowledge of the gospel. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Oh, I can go on and on over in so many examples of how God had done great things for me, for my family, for us all. Maybe you're here today, and you are keeping things close to you, cares that are weighing you down, that's choking and strangling you. God says, "You humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Be willing to go through whatever God will have you go through. Be willing to lose whatever God will have you lose. Be willing to trust God to give you whatever you have. It's all in God's hands. God has a plan for each one of us."
Amen.
Every one of you sitting here, whether you're a teenager like Eddie Bell was at 16, or whether or not you're 6, or whether you're 96 years old, God has a plan for you. And as you go through this life, and you make commitments, and the persecutions come, remember, God says to take those cares, and you give them to God, and God will exalt you in due time. Where do you stand? What cares are you harboring in your heart? Where are you not going that God wants you to go? What are you not doing that God wants you to do? If you simply humble yourselves, for me to preach, if I told somebody that I was going to be a preacher when I was a boy, they'd laugh at me. They'd laugh. Not me. Not shy James. I could hardly speak. I just followed the Lord. Followed the Lord to Ethiopia. Oh, I was told by missionaries that I couldn't do it if I was Baptist. Oh, yes. I was told that if I was Baptist and independent and fundamental in my thinking, then I could not be a missionary there. We are totally alone. We put all our care upon. It wasn't easy, but we did it. We did it. That was the answer. That was and then coming back, likewise, what a fearful thing. What would people say? We simply following the voice of God, putting all of our care in Jesus.
Amen.
Upon the Lord. Let's stand, please. Where do you stand? Maybe this was a simple encouragement to you. Has God spoken to you in these last days? We don't know what's about to happen. We don't know what's going to happen even tonight. Even tonight. With the world watching this country. We don't even know what's going to happen within the country for Christians. We don't know. We don't even know what's going to happen in this neighborhood. But God knows. Mm-hmm. And we put all of our cares in the hand of God. You may say, why? Why? But then just put it in God's hands and see. Sit back and see what God would do for you. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. Father, we pray that, Father, as we believe an invitation, that you would please talk to the hearts here.